You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 357, Dragonforge & Associates is back for its final season. This is season 5, episode 1, recorded May 2021, posted August 2022. Bad news for bears.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a dungeon master. And today we're doing something special. We are starting off a new adventure with old players, or at least familiar players. That's right, we are resuming our Dragonforge and Associates adventure. I think just the first adventure I ever ran for Total Party Kill. It's possible I could look up when that was, but let's just safe to say it was 1 million years ago, and we are all better people since then who have lived infinitely long and are wise and have prospered in the meantime. Everything's great. Let me just remind you about the premise of Dragonforge and Associates in case it's been a while. Dragonforge and Associates stars Peter Dragonforge, that's the Dragonforge, and then the Associates. We'll meet the players in a second. They have been tasked to go into the legendary dungeon, the Halls of Undermountain, in search of a missing adventurer, one Rutherford Urmbrusk. They got paid to do that basically by his aunt, who it sounds like kind of needed him declared legally dead or recovered in order to move things on with the family fortune. They made multiple excursions into Undermountain, running up against various things along the way, and each time getting like kind of one piece of information from the former adventuring party of Rutherford, because though they were unable to find Rutherford, they crossed paths with the various people who had traveled with Rutherford. It has been a long road to here. There was a demented warlord named Zar. There was a not-so-impressive vampire named Dan. There was a war between lizards and thieves. There was Snick and Snack Adventure Outfitters, who really had nothing to do with the overall adventure, but are extremely memorable. There was the Prince of Rumors, who introduced us to Thieves' Cant and made us rhyme all the time. There was Squam, the half-orc mercenary, who got his soul stuck in a suit of armor. Enda, the less-than-scrupulous halfling thief. That lizard folk, played by Annette, who exploded into snakes. That was really memorable. And Murray, that guy who didn't know he had been turned into a skull. So it has been a long
path. I remember
path.
None of this.
Yeah, well, that was in part because I was like, will the players remember any of that? I figured you might get 1 out of 9. But you've made it. All the members of Rutherford Umbro's Lost Party of Adventures are accounted for, and you have pieced together the clues. You know the location of Rutherford's disappearance. You know that he spoke a passphrase, which even Erica might remember. Erica?
What, the passphrase?
Yeah, you remember it?
No.
Okay. It was Show Me Sanctuary.
Said that in like one password or something.
Show Me Sanctuary in Elven. That's good. Yeah, you're all using the adventurer's version of one password. Knowing that that would open a portal to somewhere. So we are going to just zip right along. We are going to start out with you in the dank halls of Undermountain, standing before the wall that Rutherford Umbrusk was last seen at. There's kind of a spiral pattern carved into the wall here, perhaps decorational, but you know more than that, for you need only speak Show Me Sanctuary, but you gotta say it, Nelvin, to cause the portal to open and allowing you to perhaps finally search for Rutherford and bring him home.
Straight team
left of him.
Do any of you speak Elven?
The elf in your party does.
I wasn't sure. I didn't want to assume. But first, before we do that, let us introduce our players. First off, it wouldn't be Dragonforge and Associates without him, legally speaking, because he filed the trademark. It's Jason Snell.
Hi there. I am Jason, and I am playing Peter Dragonforge. He is a paladin, really loves Bahamut, is a big lummox, everybody loves him, but he also falls in the sewer a lot. That's pretty much him.
Don't we all?
No.
Next up, it's Erica.
Not as much as Jason's character.
Next up, it's Erica Ensign.
Hello. Yes, I am playing, once again, I think my very first character from Total Party Kill. Knock on wood. Still alive.
Ooh, boy, you're playing a dangerous game.
have. Hey, that's why I'm knocking on multiple pieces of wood. The desk, yeah. The thing. This is plastic. I don't care. I'm knocking on it anyway. Yes, I play Flessa, a very small, very shallow, very in love with sparkly things, human rogue.
You forgot Stabby.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely stabby.
So, yeah.
It's the three S's, small, sparkly, stabby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
ABS, always be stabbing.
I was playing a video game, and my character in the video game found a small bag of pebbles, and I was just like, oh, Flessa, and her small bags of rocks. So I was very excited to come back to this today. I was primed for it.
I'm glad you're back. I hope you don't die. Mm. Also joining us, it's Monty Ashley.
Hi, I'm Monty Ashley. I'm playing Melek, who used to be a tiefling wizard and is now somehow a tiefling sorcerer.
Wow.
Still very into orbs, though.
Yep. Also joining us, the one, the only, the Georgia Dow.
I am playing Akrid. I am a dragonborn fighter now. Mm. And I am the favorite of Bahami. Just going to throw that out there.
What can you do?
Sorry. Mm. Sorry.
Peter tries
hard. Peter, don't change.
Sorry, yeah. Peter.
Mm. Also joining us, it's Sarah Barber.
Hi, I'm playing Rizwin, who tries to keep everybody alive, is not very smart, but is very wise somehow.
That's true. And last but not least, unless I forgot about somebody, six players is way too many for a group. I'll never do this again. It's Steve Lutz.
Hello. Yes, it's me, Steve Lutz. I am continuing to play Olestrin Quiverbottom, an elven ranger who is somewhat broken. Broken both in the sense that he's a bit of an emotional mess from some crazy stuff that happened in his youth, and also broken in the respect that 5e rangers kind of suck. And we moved from 4e now. So,
Wow. And I will I'll let all of the people listening. I don't know how much people listening care about what systems we're using. I did used to occasionally get tweets where people said, I'm not going to listen to this because it's 4th edition. And it's like, I don't. Okay,
whatever.
I mean, people were very invested in the version wars of between fourth edition and later editions and previous editions.
That doesn't sound like people on the internet.
That doesn't sound like people on the internet at all.
Or D&D fans anywhere.
Yeah. I have a very, very soft spot in my heart for fourth edition because that is what I played when I really got into Dungeons & Dragons not as a you know, simple hobby, but a thing that would occupy all of my thoughts and energy. So, yeah, you know, maybe 4th edition is not perfect, but it was there for me for a very long time. But we are playing today in 5th edition because literally they discontinued all the 4th edition stuff, and we tried to work against that for a very long time. We're not doing that anymore. So our characters are now in 5th edition. I decided to look it up because I wanted to make myself feel old. We started this adventure almost exactly 7 years ago.
Oh my god!
Bad at looking for people.
The first episode aired June 25th, 2014. So it's been a while, people.
I have a very important switching from 4th edition to switching from 5th edition question.
Yeah,
and that is because we did all that work to change our characters from 4E to 5E. Do we all get inspiration?
Yeah. No.
Oh no!
I mean, yes and no.
And no.
But
eventually.
Thank you for reminding me that the inspiration is a thing that I should give out more liberally in Dungeons and Dragons. Thank you, Erica.
I tried, guys.
Yeah, you really did. I really thought about it, and I was like, no, they don't get that.
So what Tony is trying to say is that if you're one of those listeners who likes to note all the things that we're doing wrong as players and the things that Tony lets us do that are wrong, that a DM shouldn't let us do, all of that, please do that from the 5th edition book. Still do it. I mean, of course, but you know,
it'll be embarrassing.
Book.
And mainly if you do that, if you're, say, on the Incomparable Slack and doing it in relative time to when we played the episode, it's useful. If you're doing that after we've edited and released it, I don't care anymore. Also, you know, you can think about your tone in terms of do you do it in a helpful way versus
the source of your pedantry should be this player's handbook, not the previous one.
It's good.
I expect page numbers and footnotes if you're going to be a pedant.
All I know is the rules for jumping are on the same page.
They are
182 page 182.
I've designed an adventure with significantly less jumping because I hate the jumping.
If you get the Dungeons & Dragons Essentials kit, it's in the DM screen.
Oh.
It's something that people have to find buried in the text enough that they actually stuck it on the first page of the DM screen.
I hate jumping so much. In every version, fancy.
I plan to just jump. Every time I walk, I'm going to jump.
Yeah, go ahead and jump.
I'm extra good at jumping, so I'm right. sad that we're you not might doing as well a jump. Lot of it. Mm.
So, the adventure has almost started.
I'm sorry.
Someone need only speak Show Me Sanctuary in Elven. Perhaps an elf or someone who speaks Elven will say those words.
I'll try it in Goblin, but it's probably not going to do anything.
Go for it, Erica.
I can do it in Dragon.
Anyone else?
Yeah,
what
I speak
about
Undercommon? I'll say it.
All right, what's it sound like, Steve Lutz?
I don't know. I don't speak Elven. I mean, my character does.
Oh, okay.
And so you say, "Show me sanctuary," and except in Elven, and the kind of spiral design carved into the dungeon wall kind of ripples and turns into a swirly blue wall of energy, and a nice kind of oval, kind of, you know, 6 feet tall shape that just kind of the kind of portal that just beckons you to just hop right into it.
I was going to say, Flessa, like, as soon as it starts turning swirly, it sort of starts to slowly, like, move toward it without even thinking about it. So if nobody stops her, she's just going through that portal.
I'm with you.
I mean, this is what we're here
and
for.
And Peter steps right through, because that's what Peter's there to do.
All right.
Peter and Flessa are basically like, "Wee!"
Me too.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll go in last.
All right. Anyone want to opt out of this adventure?
Wait, you're following the person who's going last? How do you do that?
We've seen the adventure where people are like, "I'm going to be at the back." No, I'm going to be at the back, and they're like leapfrogging further and further and further back in the dungeon until they're back and down.
Yeah, usually it's Melek and Lestrin.
Yeah. You step through the portal, and it's as if you are transported somewhere, probably just through space, not through time, but hard to say.
Whee!
And you emerge. At the top of some stairs, it still looks like Undermountain. It's got that kind of signature Undermountain look to the architecture, you know, or maybe it's just some other dungeon. But you're standing at the top of the stairs. The portal still kind of swirls behind you. There's a set of, you know, finely dwarven crafted stairs heading down. It looks like it opens possibly into a larger area below.
Oh my god, I'm so cute looking. Sorry.
We do have, for when there's video of this, we have lovely art that Jason commissioned of all the characters.
Oh, very nice. He's so cute.
That I have set up Roll20 correctly. Can all of you actually move your tokens around on the map?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Nice. Everyone's scrolling them around. Excellent. Dancing.
Musical chairs.
There seem to be very few other options, would you like to proceed down the stairs? Into the chamber beyond.
Yeah, let's go back.
Yes, please. But
yep.
But
I could use a sandwich first.
Aware.
You didn't bring in a to-go sandwich?
No, I forgot.
I've got three.
You didn't pack a bunch of Smurgle sandwiches? Seems like something you would do.
What is Smurgles must have a special like to-go sandwich, like a Smurgle slider or something, and it's like wrapped in tinfoil.
Yeah, they got an Undermountain catering set that, you know, you take with you.
All right, who will be bold enough to lead the way down the stairs?
Can I go?
Yeah, Peter and Flessa, I think.
All right.
I will hold up the middle.
All right, Peter and Flessa, you make your way down the flight of stairs into a dimly lit chamber. There's some kind of old torches kind of fluttering, sparking on the walls, into a large chamber with several pillars holding up a big vaulted ceiling above it. It's kind of a wide room.
Oh no, pillars!
Pillars. And from this room, there are open arch passageways leading to the east, west, and south.
Pillars frighten me because they're like not very creative statues.
But they're load-bearing. They're more functional than statues. So... unless these are artistic pillars. I don't know.
Well, I want to look at the floor and see if it looks safe.
I will look at the ceiling.
To stand on.
Over and, 7 years.
And I turn to Flessa and I say, Flessa, you look up, I look down.
This is also the classic start of the adventure. Yeah. Everyone is cautious.
And that's when the arrow comes from straight ahead. And
people are patient. Give them 25 minutes and they'll be kicking in doors without like worrying about anything.
Exactly. We just rush in.
Yeah.
Rizwin just shouts Rutherford. Hey, Rutherford, where are you?
Your own voice echoes back to you. Rutherford. Are you? So did you roll things to look ups and downs?
Sure.
Yeah, I got 11.
I haven't used my flesa dice in so long. That's exciting. I don't know any of my skills anymore. How does this work? That's a 20. What's the ceiling look like?
All right, the ceiling.
Anything shiny or sparkly?
The ceiling is relatively safe and unremarkable. You do notice there's like a little compartment at the top of one of the pillars. If you were so inclined to climb up a pillar and look in
there. Climbed a pillar.
Peter Dragonforge, you are looking around. The floor looks, it's kind of dusty and gross here. It seems like, a lot of Undermountain is relatively clean. In part, gelatinous cubes are really good for sweeping up all those bits. So it seems like probably there aren't any gelatinous cubes living here because it's kind of dusty and dirty and gross. And as you're looking at the ground, you notice there are some arrows kind of in the center of the chamber that are written in chalk, pointing to the various exits to the east, west, and south with text below them. And it looks like there's kind of been a conversation over time with people adding to that. The most recent says, this is the only only safe direction. It points south. And then in another form of handwriting next to it, it says, tell that to Grimjaw who died there. So, yeah.
I
assume that wasn't written by Grimjaw.
Probably not.
I look back at everybody and I point up at the pillar and I say, there's something up there. Can I climb the pillar and get it as I'm walking toward the pillar?
Does the pillar look safe?
Yes.
How tall is the pillar?
It's a good 15 feet. It goes, runs floor to ceiling.
Climbing doesn't cost me extra movement. Mm. So I'm very excited to climb. I take a feat.
I say go for it.
All right. I'm going to shimmy on up the pillar. So which of the pillars was that?
It was this pillar over here. Oh, sorry, I'm not signaling. It is the pillar of the four pillars. It is the one in the... Somebody else is giving out false information. It is the southeastern pillar.
All right,
of the four pillars.
I will scurry down there, and assuming nothing stops me before I get there, I will climb the pillar at my normal walking speed.
Okay.
Scamper, straight up.
Yeah, so you're great at climbing pillars. Mm-hmm. And so you just scramble up it, and there is kind of like a little like notch basically kind of in the top of it as if somebody had like a little, kind of bread box sized little compartment to stash stuff that you spotted. I think maybe even
closely.
You're looking at it?
Yeah, with a 13 perception. See if I can figure out how to like get it open, get into it.
It's basically kind of like a little cubby or an alcove.
Oh, cool.
And you think that you could just stick your little hand in there.
I want to stick one of my mundane daggers in there just in case there's a rat in there. I've had some problems with rats before. Mm-hmm. Don't like the pointy kitties. So I'm going to just poke around with one of my cheapy daggers.
All right, you poke in there. Your dagger comes across something, maybe kind of something soft, something that, kind of yields to being stabbed. It seems like there's something in there.
Oh, look, Flesa stabbed something.
It doesn't squeal or scream or anything.
It does not do that.
Okay, I'm gonna reach in then and try to grab it.
All right, it's like a little kind of sack, though it's kind of got a hole in it, like somebody stabbed it with a dagger now.
I hope it has shiny stones in it. I scamper. Is there anything else in there?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, I scamper back down and I say, I found a bag of stuff. Or does it feel like there's stuff in it, or does it just feel like...
Yeah, it feels like there is something, maybe a little bit bigger than a golf ball in there.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm opening it up.
Fantasy golf ball.
A grapefruit?
Yeah. They have golf in Dungeons & Dragons canon. It's completely different from our golf, though.
Go on.
But it's still called that.
The balls are enormous, for starters.
Yeah. They're about the size of beach balls. Yes, they have beach balls in Dungeons & Dragons.
I'm bringing it over to Melek because it seems to be slightly orb-shaped. So.
Mm. It seems like it's probably some kind of gem.
Ooh.
Oh. Is it sparkly or is it more like rough?
No, you haven't really taken it. I think you feel something that's like a that has that distinctive feel of it's as hard as a rock, but it's been, you know, cut and polished.
Oh, okay.
It's like a nice looking amethyst in there.
You might want to check this thing out before you grab it out of there. Just saying. Like maybe
sure,
Melek,
like I'm, I
have a look
I'm
at
opening
it.
The bag and looking into it. I haven't reached in to like grab it out yet. So
it looks extremely shiny.
Mm. Oh, okay. Now I'm dumping it out in my hand.
Oh no.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like a gem. It looks like the kind of thing that's worth money that, you know, someone tucked away here and now it's yours.
This is really pretty and shiny. Here you go, boss. I hand it to Melek. He carries all the valuable things.
Not bad.
All right. It's yours. You have money. Mm-hmm. It is probably worth at least 150 gold pieces.
I tuck it in the bag.
It's too big for Flessa to carry.
All right.
We can spend that money at Snick and Snack. Adventure Outfitters.
Assuming you live long enough to
Or Smurgle Sandwich Shop, yes.
Yeah. That's. I mean, it'll go a lot further at Smurgle Sandwich Shop.
We get a discount there, right?
We do.
Yeah. That's what they tell you.
I mean, I didn't pay for these three sandwiches, although Smurgle didn't know that.
That's just stealing.
They put extra cheese on our sandwiches. It's not cheese.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm. Mm. All right. What would you like to do next?
I'm looking at the other pillars to see if there are any other cubbies.
I would like to use my fancy new ability, Stone Cunning, to be able to figure out the origin of all of these pillars.
Okay. They seem like they are, fine dwarven craftsmanship. They're quite old. So they've been here for a long time. This part of Undermountain, though it seems kind of empty, it doesn't seem like it's kind of getting as much traffic as other parts of Undermountain. It seems like they are holding up the ceiling. I don't know. What else do pillars do? I may not have read it up
they
sufficiently
pill
on pillars.
Perhaps
they contain clues to Rutherford.
They don't seem to do that.
Do these, you said there were arrows on the floor and discussions mm-hmm. written about them?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Well, they seem to argue about which way is the safe way to go.
Yeah, well, who's winning? Who's making good
points?
Is there
a consensus?
Does anybody provide citations, footnotes, anything
votes?
Like that?
What has the most upvotes?
No.
Yeah.
It seems
which one
like
has the best
South?
Handwriting?
South has the most votes, but the last last comment seems to kind of take issue with that. But I mean, I guess safest is a relative, you know.
And are these
qualifier.
Just double doors in these various directions?
Yes, I imagine them as there are doors there, but they're kind of open archways, and so I put in the doors as open for you.
All right.
Are any of the notes by Rutherford Umbrusk?
Good question.
That's what I meant to reveal.
Do we know his penmanship?
Yeah,
awesome.
Give me a quick search. Give me some kind of intelligence or wisdom check to try and figure that out.
I rolled a one, so let me just check up here. Three.
You are having trouble identifying Rutherford's handwriting.
I will do my best. Is it perception mm-hmm. here? Or
yeah.
More charismatic, but dumber somehow.
Oh, I rolled a one, which means it's a six.
I rolled a one, too.
I rolled a 10,
all right.
So 12.
My character sheet may say that I can speak, read, and write common in one extra language, but I have decided that no, plus I can't read.
Okay. You are having... It's possible that simply there is no message from Rutherford here, or that you are unable to decipher one, if there is one.
What do the doors and archways look like? Do any of them look cool?
There's not one that just says, I am Rutherford Irmbrusk, and I'm going this way.
Worth a shot.
There does not seem to be that one. I guess he's not. Rutherford Umbrusk is not the kind of guy who puts comments in his code, is what I'm saying. So the big archways are all kind of similar in that they open into kind of passageways that you can see down. They all seem kind of dark in suggesting that the whatever space beyond is not lit, but you all are seasoned adventurers who came with a variety of torches and whatnot to investigate.
I'm carrying a torch.
I have the whatnot.
I can cast light as a cantrip.
You can cast light, which is like a torch, but magic and requires nothing.
Whee.
Literally, you don't even have to carry a torch.
Nope.
I've got dark vision.
Can you cast light on my dagger, please?
Yeah, totally. I cast light on Plus's dagger.
Now everyone will see that before it steps.
Before they die, they see the blinding flash
of
light.
Exactly where to perforate somebody. I need to be able to see.
And then it'll look really cool because their body will glow around
They may want God. It. They'll think that they're going to get some sort of magical power.
It only glows for an hour, though.
Oh, that's still pretty good. Yeah. So you have a choice of east, south, or the west, and it's unclear which one is most promising in terms of rescuing Rutherford or not dying. Your two goals for this adventure. Rescue Rutherford, not die.
Well, the die I just rolled says we should go west.
It's a magic 8-ball.
Yeah, it's fine with me. Unless we want to, I mean, if we can look down these archways and they all seem exactly the same and there's nothing particularly notable about them. Have we done that? Could we do that?
You are free to do that if you'd like.
Let's do that.
Is it very dusty? Like, do we see a bunch of tracks going through any one of these doors?
I would say it is pretty dusty. I will say that there are tracks in almost every direction.
Heavier in any one direction?
Give me a perception check, Rizwin.
Do we know Rutherford's shoe size or boot size?
I rolled a 6. That's better than a 5.
It is technically than a 5.
Hooray!
You are not certain.
Okay.
I would like to add something.
Getting all these bad rolls out of the way early.
Tony, I would like to add something to the conversation on the floor.
What are you going to add?
I'm going to add... All of these dummies missed 150 GP gem at the top of this pillar over here, so I don't think anybody should listen to any of them.
I hope you have
a lot of
chalk.
Signing it or just leaving that anonymously?
Oh, I'm signing it.
Signed, Melek. Have a magical day.
That's right.
All right, Alestrin's looking down the west archway.
All right, I will tell you. Let's see here. Alestrin,
it's a hole.
West archway, you see a short hall that opens into a passageway or into a larger chamber. You can see some kind of rubble ahead. It looks kind of cobwebby and kind of abandoned.
I don't like that.
Yeah. You also notice as you're looking around, there are some cobwebs on the walls leading to the west.
And these just appear to be like your standard issue cobwebs, not actual webs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't sound very convincing there.
Cobwebs spun by the giant murderous cob spider.
No.
Well, cob is another word for spider.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I ask it about
that. I'm referencing knowledge. Wow.
I take a look down the passageway to the east just for yucks.
All right. Rizwin, you are looking down the passageway to the east. You see a long hallway that goes on for quite some way, and you're kind of reflected back in your torchlight. I didn't have an exact token for this, but there are floor-to-ceiling mirrors on the wall to either side of this hallway that are so your light is kind of bouncing back at you from that. That's what I attempted to indicate with blue dots.
Are there any funny
mirrors?
Oh, I
know this puzzle. It's from Zork 3. It's a real pain.
What did you ask, Rizwin?
Yeah, are there any funny mirrors? Like, can I see my reflection or just the reflection of my light?
I think you'd have to get closer to see. Okay. You just see
how
that you're
far
all...
Down?
You. It looks like they're about 40 feet. No, these squares are 5. So, I don't know, 25 feet down is where they start.
All right.
What's to the south,
Peter,
Tony?
You looking south? Yeah. You see the passageway to the south opens into a larger room.
Plessa is just climbing all the pillars now just to check them out.
All right. Pillars seem pillory and free of gems now that you have...
I say we go south, says Peter.
Okay, let's go. I'm bored.
Okay.
All right.
There are fun mirrors over here.
Magical day. Period.
Pretty
all right,
shiny.
Let's go.
All right.
All right. Are you committed to a way? Looks like it. You're starting to move your tokens in that way.
Peter's the leader.
All right, Peter.
I'm following the leader.
All right. I'm going to go right to the edge of the...
Following the leader.
Of the room. And
No statues.
Oh.
All right.
I'm going to be generous.
I keep my eyes really open the entire time.
Peter, you are looking into a large chamber beyond. It is not lit, but you know you can kind of see it reflecting back.
Bright dagger.
Wait, is it statues and mushrooms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a
you
problem?
You son of a bitch.
The room beyond has three large statues. They seem to depict kind of women of noble bearing in fancy decorated armor. And yeah, so there's three statues on three plinths. These are big 20-foot tall statues, larger than life size. They're kind of spaced out evenly across the chamber. All the statues are facing west. On the far side of the chamber, south side, there's another set of there's a set of double doors. There are also sets of double doors on the east side of the chamber, kind of tucked behind the statues. You see one set is closed, one set is open. There's a kind of a huge patch of mushrooms growing in the northwest chamber of the northwest corner of the chamber. It also looks like there might be like a campsite set up in the southwest corner of the chamber.
Okay, Tony, before I step into this room, I'm going to use a new feature, Divine Sense.
I like this.
And I get to find out...
Are there any vines?
If there are any, yes, vines, or celestials, fiends, undead, or anything detected by the Hallow spell within 60 feet of me. Any evil stuff
you
here?
There's no evil stuff here.
There's I don't think these statues are evil.
No evil stuff within 60 feet of you.
It seems not evil, he says. To me. And steps into the room.
Is the campsite to the south seem recently made?
Would you like to head over to that and explore
it? Yeah,
let's do that. Somebody else can look at the statues.
All right, Rizwin, you head over. Rizwin, give me a quick perception check on that campsite.
7. I'm getting one better every time.
I will tell you, even with a 7, you get the sense, like
I got an 11.
There's still a fire simmering in there. There's still a fire simmering under a pot. So, yeah, I would say even with a 7 recent, I think if, I don't know, fire still burning seems like, I don't know, recent. Perhaps if you had done better than a 7, you would have gotten very specific. But I think this is one of those, like, we don't make you roll to climb up a ladder. You would get the
Anything
sense that someone
cooking?
Had been here recently. It smells not good. So at least not to your dwarven sensibilities.
Is there any other clues here of who might be camping here?
There's a bunch of kind of weird bedrolls and little knapsack type things. I will tell you, give me, let's see, you rolled an 11, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, are you headed over this way too?
I'm kind of keeping an eye on these statues.
All right. Peter, I'll tell you with an 11, you're not sure, but the camping gear that has been left here, it does look both small, numerous, and filthy. That's what I'll give you at the 7 or at an 11.
Just like my family.
Is there anything shiny over there? I shout from the middle of the room.
There's a lot of small,
filthy things here.
Let me check.
Oh, so
in.
It's like my room. Oh.
Akrid, what
I'm
were
gonna,
you gonna do?
I'm gonna poke at the Victoria's Secret statue and stare at its eyes really closely while I start poking at it with my sword.
All right, this is smart.
That's a professional player there.
16.
All right, you are poking at the statue. You're staring at it in its statue eyes. The statue does not seem to react in any way, as if it is just a statue. You are standing before a statue of an elven warrior. You notice that carved into the base of the statue is an elven name, Elandria. And the statue seems to just be a statue. It does also look like somebody with chalk has been here.
What did they write? Is it a mustache? Is she wearing a mustache now?
Well, it's the name is crossed out, and then there's something written. Akrid, what languages do you speak?
Common and dragon.
It's in a language that is not one of those.
I point down and I say, Elven.
Yes? Lestrum comes over and looks to see if it's Elven.
Look.
It is not Elven.
Is it
Goblin? I can't read it, but I might be able to recognize
goblin.
If it was Goblin.
Definitely Goblin.
It is, in fact, it is Goblin. And it, you know what? I'll let you... why don't we determine, Flessa, that you're not quite literate and you need to do some kind of intelligence check to see if you can remember it.
Sure.
And I'll determine difficulty based on how hard
she can sound it out. She can sound out the Goblin.
Yeah. Okay.
This one rushes over.
It just says I'm Goblin here for some reason.
Hey, I'm Goblin here.
I got an. Why do I have a bonus on my intelligence check? Oh, that's a saving throw. I was looking at the wrong spot. Yeah. All right. So that's a minus one. That's more like it. I got an 8.
You're not sure, but you think it's something rude.
Richmond walks
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I think that's a naughty word, but I'm not sure, but it's definitely written in Goblin.
She speaks Goblin.
Oh.
Can she read it?
Can you read and write Goblin? Probably, right?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Oh.
It says smelly in Goblin.
I'm Goblin here.
Apparently the statue is smelly? I don't get it. I sniff
the statue.
But the statue does not seem remarkable.
I think it's just goblins being rude.
Maybe it's the room behind is her room or something. I don't know.
I peek behind
Maybe
the statue.
Maybe the room is smelly.
Behind the statue, there is a closed set of double doors.
I go sniff the doors.
Give me a smell check, which would be perception.
What's the smell check?
Does this pass the smell check?
That's a 3.
It does not.
Does not. This just smells like doors to you.
It's just doors. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at the back of the statue now.
There's nothing on the back of the statue.
I'm climbing the statue.
All right, you are now climbing on top of a 20-foot statue of an elven
I'm
going to
look at the middle statue.
The next statue, Rizwin. Rizwin, the middle statue has a name carved into the base of it, but has also been kind of scratched out with chalk. But, you know, it's just chalk over actual carving, so it's still totally readable. Mm-hmm. This appears to be Ruthadar, who is a human woman warrior. It's a good... Ruthadar.
Ruthadar sounds a lot like Rutherford.
Mm. And you would know, Rizwin, since you speak Goblin, or can read and write Goblin, somebody has scratched out the name Ruthadar and written in... Goblin below it, though it's not quite spelled right. Stupid.
Sorry.
Goblins.
There is also a broken staff at the feet of Ruthadar.
Hmm. I take a look at the staff.
It's just like it's a wooden walking stick that someone has snapped in half. Both halves are there.
Not related to the statue. This is just like trash left here.
Yep.
I pick up one of the halves of the staff.
It's a half of a staff.
Hmm.
It's at half staff.
You might want both pieces, just so you have, you know, you can do a screama.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could fly a flag on it if somebody died.
I'm going to foreshadow the staff. Does it look like it was broken recently? Was it left here recently?
It's, you know, there's some dust that falls off of it as you pick it up. So it's,
I, like, bat at the statue a little bit to, like, see the sound of things, because why not?
The half-staff breaks into two other pieces.
Whoops.
It seems like
now it's a
quarter-staff.
Yeah.
two quarter-staffs and a half-staff.
Lestrum is warily eyeing this fungal growth in the corner from a respectful distance.
All right. There does seem to be a significant patch of mushrooms, very large, in the northwest corner of the room.
Is a 16 on a perception check tell me anything, or should this be nature?
Why don't you give me a nature check?
It's 15.
15? There is a mix of edible and poisonous and generic mushrooms in this patch.
Do I know anything about the edible varieties, whether there's anything...
They taste like mushrooms. They're not, like, hallucinogenic or anything.
Okay. No,
they're not magic or anything.
Sometimes no. mushrooms grant boons, and
is that true?
Yeah.
Is it,
in is this what, magical world that we make together?
Okay,
sometimes.
Maybe it.
There's
you
one
know.
Kind that makes you bigger, and
yeah, maybe at UC Santa Cruz. That's not where this adventure takes place.
Peter looks at the other statue.
All right, the third statue is a little bit shorter than the others. It depicts a dwarven woman. The name written on it is Anthalas, and then something has been written in goblin over the name, and you know, looks like a intimidating dwarven woman. She's got a giant hammer.
I say, "Hey, Rizwin, what does this one say?"
I go over and take a look.
It says "toothless" in goblin.
Ooh,
burn.
So what? The northern statue is called what?
I believe the three things are smelly, stupid, and toothless.
Smelly, stupid, and toothless, but the actual names that are...
Alandria.
Let's see here. Alandria, Rithidar.
Rithidar.
Yeah, and I can put these in the Roll 20 chat if you want.
So Peter says, I got an idea. Rizwin, you stay here. Alestrin, go over by that other statue. And Peter walks over to this statue.
Which other statue?
The one, the elf.
Okay.
The one that I'm sitting on top of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, okay, now touch it. Touch that statue, and I'm going to touch this statue, and Rizwin, you touch that statue.
Hang on. All right, I just wanted to walk to the other side of the room. Carry
oh,
on.
Yeah. Good, good, good. do you see? Tony, does anything happen?
No.
And Peter says,
sometimes statues
look,
are just statues.
It's us. An elf, a human, and a dwarf.
Also, right. Smelly, stupid, and toothless.
I thought, yeah. I thought
my teeth are still good.
For now.
And you don't smell that bad, Alestrin. Peter doesn't comment on himself, and then we're done. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
It really was.
That was a really good try. I'm sitting on top of one of the wings, just like dangling my legs down, mm-hmm. and just like looking. I'm juggling daggers.
So I noticed the behind the dwarven statue, the doors appear to be open. Is that actually the case?
Yeah.
I think we should peek in there and see what's in there.
I peek in there.
All right. Rizwin, there is someone on the other side of the doors peeking back at you.
It's a double peek.
Yeah, a double peek.
Is there a contested peek check that happens now?
Yeah. I think you're going to end up rolling initiative very, very soon. You peek through the doors, and there's a goblin who is somewhat startled because the goblin was peeking through the doors at all of you.
Twin Peaks is always startling.
Yeah, and the goblin, I'm just going to tell you, you get the sense that the goblin is not alone, Rizwin, as the goblin kind of squawks. Ah! And I guess you speak goblin, so that you can recognize that the squawk is facing us, and there's a kind of a flurry of movement from beyond the goblin. And you know, I'm just going to suggest that you roll initiative because some other things are going to roll initiative.
I did not figure out my initiative. I guess it's just
people are watching us. We will attack and kill them.
It
we
is
hate people who
just
watch
your,
us.
Your dex modifier, if that helps.
I have rolled a critical fail.
That's, you know, better to get it out of the way now.
I am not doing well today. I should just go get some dice that I roll as opposed to using roll 20. Oh, well.
I also rolled a 1. Very excited.
My 7 doesn't look so bad. Oh, now it does because there's Lassa.
I'm a swashbuckler, yeah. So I get to add my charisma modifier as well. So I get to go fast.
Wow, look at you.
Holy yep. Jesus.
I'm swashbuckling all over the place.
Buckling swashes left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing Flessa, followed by Acrid, followed by Alestrin, followed by Peter, followed by Goblin, followed by Melek, followed by Rizwin. Is that what everyone expects?
That sounds about right.
Sure.
I definitely
all right.
failed.
So let us just... Peter and Rizwin, you were right by the double doors, peeking in at a goblin who was peeking out. Akrid, you were kind of poking around over by the campsite. Melek, you had put yourself as far away from the adventurers as possible when they were doing statue hijinks. So you were up against the far wall. Flessa, you are currently hanging off the wings of one of the statues. Uh-huh. And Alestrin, you are strategically placed already in cover behind the northmost statue. Flessa, it is your turn first. You have heard the sound of a commotion, the telltale sounds of imminent battle.
Ooh. Well, I kind of like my perch up here. So mm-hmm. I think I'm just going to stop juggling these daggers for the moment and ready to throw a couple of daggers at a baddie if one comes into my view. So I'm just going to stay put.
All right. So I think that's going to trigger now, Flessa, because the next thing that happens is the doors next to you swing open and a very large bear pushes through those doors, snarling and growling, and sees you, Flessa, and kind of rears up on its haunches and goes to attack you.
Is it a polar bear?
You know, it's like a brown bear.
Okay. Guys, where are we?
How tall is so that? How tall is that bear?
I didn't notice this hatch under the cooking pot until just now.
You know, the bear, it's a very large bear, okay. And it can really stretch, and maybe it climbs up the statues like just a little bit to get at you.
Okay. But she throws her daggers first, right?
It's one of
but
those my stretch daggers, bears.
Yeah, you get to throw your daggers first.
Okay, so let's see. Oh my gosh, first attack. This is exciting.
Yep,
so
yep. Everything rides on this. This will set the tone of battle.
Right. I think, so in my hands I was juggling three daggers. My magic dagger, my vicious dagger, and just a regular dagger. I think because it's a bear and I'm scared, I'm throwing the vicious dagger first. Like, whoa.
All right.
Unexpected.
Next time, just pick one dagger.
So that would be a 23. Three to hit.
All right, that'll hit anything in this adventure. So you get the bear, you nail the bear right in the shoulder. Now there's an angry bear coming for you. Roll some damage for that bear.
All right, and nobody else is closer to this bear than I am, so I get sneak attack damage on it.
Oh, there's a hobgoblin warrior back there.
Warlock.
Yeah.
So that would be.
I'm gonna mess him up.
Okay. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 plus.
What?
Let's see. Okay. Yep. That's 15.
All right. With that first bear aim. There is blood gushing from a wound on that bear's shoulder. That bear is super upset with Flessa. The bear lumbers over and kind of like climbs half up that statue.
Do I get my second attack or no? Does that not
I think you can only ready a single single thing. So
okay.
I don't think so. So that bear is both going to try and maul you and swipe at you with its fearsome claws. Which one do you want to have happen first, Erica?
I feel like the claws would come first because they're taller.
Claws first. I rolled a not very impressive 14.
Nope.
All right. He claws at you, and you kind of scramble further up the statue, and then it reaches up with its fearsome jaws and rolls a critical. This is not good.
No.
The bear is just going to chew a good sized chunk out of Flessa.
I don't like that.
Flessa. Oh, this is not good. You are going to take 16 piercing
bear damage.
16 bear damage. How are you doing?
Well, I can bear it.
Good to joke when you're being eaten by a bear. Because what do you got going for you?
She applies taunt.
If you need some healing, I've got a pouch full of good berries.
Yay! Oh boy. I love those things.
I still got a healing word.
Yes, me too.
I mean, that was a decent amount of my hit points, but I'm still up and okay.
Nope. Akrid, a bear has burst through the doors to the north. You also know that there is a small goblin behind the doors to the
now,
south.
Now, how fast can I travel in 5th edition? How many squares? How many 5 feet can I do?
How many 5 feet can Akrid do? This is a good question because Akrid's a little bit slower than most.
Your speed is 30. She's not that slow.
30. Yeah. Okay. No,
so
you're
that's
not.
30 feet.
Is 30 standard.
Yeah. So six.
Yeah. So that's 6 squares.
Oh, I can make it.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that bear is 30 feet. Maybe the goblin's not quite, but
I am going to slowly travel down to the bear. And mm-hmm. I am going to... Now,
And Akrid, you are a large dragonborn warlord. The bear is still bigger than you, just to be clear. It's.
Now, can I do my breath weapon and do an attack, or...
The breath weapon is an action, so it's either you could either do breath weapon or do an attack.
I think I'm going to do, actually, I'll use my extra attack, and I will do attack twice with my plus one longsword. 19?
19 will hit the broad side of a bear. You stab it with your longsword.
I do 7 points of damage, and...
All right, there is a torrent of bear blood that gushes in your direction. And this bear is not doing well. I mean, it is a large, lumbering beast, but it has, between Flessa's dagger attack and you're hitting it with a longsword in the side, it is already covered in its own blood, which is not the preferred choice.
I attack again and I say, bad bear, bad bear. And I got 11.
11 is the armor class of the bear.
Whoa.
Just barely.
Mm-hmm. And I do 11 points of damage.
Ugh, this bear is not doing well.
Ah.
Wow, I thought this bear was going to be a terror, but Flessa and Akrid put out a lot of damage. Akrid, anything else?
I try to go in front of the bear so that it will not attack in front of its... I try to put myself underneath because Fless is on top. So yeah. I go underneath so that the bear will, you know, bother me.
Yeah. Okay. I think that you probably have the bear's attention. However, if you are done, next up, a creature that has not appeared yet. It seems like the bear and the single goblin are not alone, appearing from the same door that the bear emerged from.
Here he is.
A hobgoblin.
You know him. You love him. Presenting Hobgoblin.
This is a hobgoblin warlord. I think you've seen hobgoblins before. They're kind of the bullies of the goblin family. They tend to be kind of orangish and have big ears that kind of stick out. They style themselves as kind of soldiers and warriors and wear armor and weapons of level sophistication that goblins don't tend to get involved in. So this hobgoblin warrior kind of growls at the sight of somebody murdering his beloved bear and is going to rush in and try and deal with Akrid. So Akrid, first thing that's going to happen, hobgoblin rushes in. It's carrying a shield. It's just going to bash you with the shield, try and do damage to you and maybe even knock you off your feet. Akrid, I have rolled a 14 to hit.
My armor class is 19.
All right, so it just kind of whacks you on the side with the shield, and you just shrug it off. Then it's going to attack you twice with its longsword. I have rolled, well, let's see, we know that a 15 doesn't hit you, but a 19 will hit you. So it gets you with its longsword right in your arm for 8 slashing damage. All right, Alestrin, you are up next. You are kind of just on the other side of statue from this brawl breaking out with bears and hobgoblin warriors and Flessa and Akrid. What do you want to do?
I say, it's nature, kill it.
Yeah, well, that was my first thought.
It is nature. Alestrin.
All right. Well, yeah, I think I will take a shot with an arrow at this bear.
I would use your bow. I think that your arrows go a lot further if you...
I shouldn't just throw the bow at him either. No, I will...
You're new to being a fifth edition ranger. I want to help you out here.
Okay. So we'll take a shot. I rolled a 2, which is not great, but even with that,
Do you have something? Do you have like four things that let you reroll this in fifth edition or not?
Well, not as many as all that. But that's actually a 12.
Do you have any and we know sort of mark or.
Yeah, I have a limited number of those, though. So okay. I was considering waiting on that, but maybe I shouldn't.
So you know that a 12 hits.
Cool. In that case, we will do. Sorry, just getting used to this character. And now it's 5e. It's an 8.
The only thing that's different.
Where's my d8? Where's my
d8? I should have remembered Uncanny Dodge and only taken half of the that bear damage, but I forgot.
There's my d8.
Because this is all new.
We're learning. We're learning. I will probably not. I'll try not to kill you with a bear in the first round.
Well, that's a 1, which means it actually does 8 piercing damage.
All right, you get it right in the neck with an arrow, and the bear roars at you, Alestrin, and slumps to the ground. You've taken out my bear.
Bear down. Okay. I have a special class feature called Hordebreaker, which allows me to make another weapon attack on the guy that's 5 feet from him, which is the Hobgoblin Warlord. So
yeah,
I'll shoot at him as well. Mm-hmm. And that is a 16.
He catches it in the with his shield. It kind of blocks your arrow. Your arrow is stuck firmly in the shield, and the Hobgoblin just kind of snarls at you from behind it.
Oh, that's irritating. So I'm going to go ahead and take another shot at him, because I get 2 attacks. Mm-hmm. God, I'm getting terrible rolls. Well, that's a 12, which I know is not going to hit. So,
all right, that one misses him and hits the wall behind him.
All right.
Bears, easier to hit than Hobgoblins with shields. It's the lesson today. Peter Dragonforge. Oh, sorry, Alestrin, other things?
Nope, that's it.
All right, Peter Dragonforge, you are basically snout to snout with a goblin. You know that there are other goblins beyond that goblin.
Yeah, I'm going to run up here to this fearsome warlord who has entered the fray.
All right.
And I'm going to hit him with my sword.
All right. You're going to try.
Okay, well, that's a 28 to hit.
That will definitely hit.
All right, well, that does... There's 2 things that happen then. First off, it does 11 damage.
Does not like that.
And a new feature. Again, little new Peter Dragonforge feature here. I'm going to take a spell slot. And apply bonus damage. And he takes 11... radiant damage on top of that. That's
nice. 22 damage.
And nice. That's attack 1. And now attack 2.
But.
Dang.
25 to hit.
That will definitely hit.
Another 7 damage.
Go, Peter.
Wow. Remember when it used to just be your job to, like, soak damage?
I'll do that too. I'll do that too.
All right.
I want to use my new features.
All right, next up is Team Goblin, and it is a team because, Rizwin, there is a scurrying of movement behind that door, and suddenly there are many goblins looking to push through this door.
Oh, no.
With where you are. It does seem like your friends have all left you behind to fight, you know, like a baseball team for the goblins by yourself. So, let's see here. The first two goblins are going to run up to you and try and hit you with their filthy, rusty, kind of handmade swords.
They can try.
Well, I have rolled a not very impressive 7 and a critical. So I think the critical is going to hit.
Critical is going to hit.
So one of them basically kind of trips and does not hit anywhere near you. The other one manages to, just seems to get a lucky shot in and gets you in the leg for 7 slashing damage.
Ow.
With its rusty sword. The 3 other goblins, because there's 5 goblins total, they can't quite get into this space, so they're just going to rain arrows upon you, with their little short bows. So I'm rolling 3 short bow attacks for these goblins.
My AC
I have
17.
Rolled miss, and 1 hit. You will take 5 damage as an arrow hits you in the shoulder.
Ow.
How bad are you doing after taking a sword hit and an arrow hit?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. Melek, you are far across the chamber up against the wall, safely far away from all this bad stuff that's happening.
Well, I'm going to walk a little bit south and then throw a fireball, I think, right?
Yeah!
Does that also hit Rizwin's?
Of course it doesn't. It'll be way back here.
Oh, you're going to do the throw the fireball behind the goblins and so that they both get burned from behind, but not your friend Rizwin.
That's right.
Toasty tushy.
Is there enough space to do that? Probably is the answer.
I believe so. The fireball is 20 foot radius, and that's 25 feet past them. And also, just as a style play, just because I like using my new abilities, I'm going to spend a sorcery point to not have to do any somatic or verbal components for this. It just happens.
It just happens. There's just fireballs near you.
Who left the fireball back there, guys? What happened?
So that'll be dexterity saves. Your target is 15. And meanwhile, I'll be rolling 8d6 for everybody who fails.
It's 86.
That's a lot of damage.
All right, I'm going to do... First up, this is... Now, goblins are somewhat dexterous. I'm sorry, what was the number you said I had to get? 15?
15.
15. I'll do the three goblins with the bows first. And they have rolled a 2, another critical, and though half damage is probably going to kill them, right? So this is kind of academic. And not a 15. So one of them has succeeded, but it probably doesn't matter. And then the two close ones, one of them succeeded and one of them failed. But I think half of 86, because they take half damage on a save.
Yeah. So it's 28 to everybody who's failed and 14 to everyone who succeeded.
Okay, so Melek just incinerated 5 goblins.
Wow.
That was...
So that was the goblin's turn.
I guess I should have brought more goblins.
As long as they're all crammed into that space, you can bring as many as you like.
Does anyone have marshmallows? Wow.
Yeah, I guess I was like, oh no, Rizwin's going to be in trouble here, stuck with 5 goblins in a little hallway. And it's
you didn't
nope,
count on Melek, did you?
No, I did not. Melek, anything else you want to do?
That's probably
mess
enough.
Up my day?
That seems fine.
All right.
It's like his work is done here.
Yeah, Rizwin, you are next. I will just mention we are using a map with tiles because that's what I'm used to using, and that's easy to do in Roll20. We don't always worry about tiles so much in 5th edition. So, for example, if you wanted to run up and be fighting that warlord, we can squeeze you in there. It's, we don't
necessarily
worry about
two people can fit on a tile?
You know...
It's
storytelling. It's like not supposed to be tactical if you don't want it to be. You just have to sort of it's not as hard and fast as it was in 4E.
Fuzzier.
Yeah. It's but fuzzier. In part, there's no powers that gives you flanking's not a thing. Being next to someone's not a thing. There's usually somebody being within 5 feet of somebody is a thing.
Sometimes.
But so it's not positioning is not nearly as much a thing. In,
sometimes being within 5 feet is a thing, but you know. That's fine.
Yes, but
but so, I have all these Rizwin, fancy spells.
Yeah. Oh, so you want to lob a spell from back there?
Yeah. I'm gonna do my thing and Sacred Flame him.
Yay.
All right. So that means that the Hobgoblin has to succeed on a check
15
based on your thing. All right. The Hobgoblin is going to attempt to duck your Sacred Flame. The Hobgoblin does not successfully do that.
Well, it takes 10 damage.
All right. He is kind of looks a little sunburnt.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to cast Healing Word on Flessa as a bonus action.
Oh,
thank you.
Totally. How do I do this? Healing Word. I got a 4. My bonus is 4, so you get 8 hit points back.
Thank you.
Trying to keep the team alive.
Thanks, boss.
All right. Okay. We have completed one round of combat in 5th edition.
Woo!
Flessa, you are next. There's a dead bear next to you and also a hobgoblin warrior warlord who has taken a lot of damage but still looks totally in the fight.
I am going to hop down from the statue to behind this bear. Can I just as like not action just grab my vicious dagger from out of the bear?
Totally.
Okay. I just don't want to lose that thing. And then I'm going to pull it out of the bear and throw it at the hobgoblin.
That's not hygienic. That's how we get bear flu.
Extra septic, septic shock damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping he gets bear flu. That would be nice. Right. That was not a great roll.
And remind me, you're a rogue, Flessa. Mm-hmm. Do you get advantage if there are multiple people around the other guy, or does that not affect you at all? I forget how rogues work in 5th edition.
I do get sneak attack on the roll.
But not advantage. Okay.
But I don't have advantage. No.
Okay.
I probably actually, can I say that first I try to hide behind the bear?
Dead body of the bear?
The bear is substantial. So you are going to...
it's a stealth check.
Yeah, give me a stealth check.
That's a 22.
The hobgoblin is unaware where you are.
Okay, so now I do have advantage because
I rolled a perception check for the hobgoblin.
Okay, he
didn't get anywhere near 22.
Yep, and
all right, so you disappear between one side of the bear and then a dagger flies out from the other side of the bear.
Yeah, that's how that works. Because hiding is a bonus action for me. So that is a 22.
All right. That hits the hobgoblin who in the arm. He was trying. He had his shield up to block a dagger coming from the other side of the bear.
16 damage to the hobgoblin because I get sneak attack because he's got other people near him.
He is looking unwell. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I actually get a second attack. I only get one because I'm just a little rogue, I'm not a fighter.
All right. Next up would be the bear, but bad news for bears.
Bad news bears.
So next up is Akrid.
Now, when I use a feat, which I did not do, but do I have to, does it take a long time in order to have the feat happening, or it's no...
It depends. Some of them just happen, some of them
take... This one says no action.
Which feat is it?
It is Inspiring Leader. You spend 10 minutes inspiring your companions, choose up to 6 allies who can see hear you.
So that's it takes 10 minutes.
So that would be when we were waiting to go in somewhere, you'd give us a pep talk, and then we'd go.
Fair. Yeah. Okay.
I love that you have a pep talk. That's great. I'm not worried about
this. It'll be a very simple pep. She can do a pep.
It's like we're going to go in there, and there's going to be a big battle. But I've put a sign above the door that says "Believe."
Yeah. We can do it. I'm going to make 2 attacks.
Yep.
I make it with. I think that it was the bear that I hit before. So I don't know if I make it. It is 6 + 7. I'm able to do math. 13.
13 is not enough. This hobgoblin warlord is quick on his feet, and he's got a big shield, and he has blocked a lot of attacks that would have hit a bear.
Fair.
How about your second attack? 24 will do it. Roll some damage.
9 points of damage.
Oh, I don't like this. Well, I mean, I guess I'm okay with it, but the hobgoblin doesn't like it. Anything else, Akrid?
No, I will... Wait.
I will point out something for your next turn,
please.
Georgia. Your commander strike is actually kind of cooler than it was in 4th edition, because in 4th edition you could say, here, I give my action to somebody else to make an attack. Now, because you have 2 attacks, you can take one of them and then give the other one to somebody else.
Ah.
So if there's somebody who has a really high armor class and you might not be able to hit it, you could still try to hit it yourself and then give your second attack to somebody who has,
And when it says you have 4d8 superiority dice per short rest, how long is a short rest?
That's
1 hour.
When we rest for an hour, so we can do that multiple times a day.
Perfect. Yeah. And the 4d8 means that I can do that 4 times per short rest.
Yep.
Yeah, and the your superiority die, which is a weird thing that only your type of character class gets to use is a D8. So there are things where it's add your superiority die, and your superiority die is a D8.
Sweet.
I think the way it writes it is a little strange, but yes.
Okay, perfect. I will try that if the Hobgoblin does not die, but I don't think he's...
Unclear how long he will last. The Hobgoblin is next, and he is extremely unhappy with the situation. He has all of these powerful attacks that he could do based on moving goblins around the board. Someone incinerated the goblins before they got to do anything. He would go and attack Melek for this, except Akrit and Peter have him kind of pinned in here. So he is going to go. Some. He's going to focus on Akrit. Well, he's glaring at you, but he is focused on Akrit first because Akrit has made his day very bad. He's going to start off by trying to knock you to the ground with a shield bash, Akrit. I have rolled 13, is not going to hit Akrit. He's going to follow up with two sword attacks. A 13 is not going to hit Akrit, but a 27 will hit Akrit.
Whew.
7 slashing damage. But that may be the last thing this warlock gets to do.
Remember when we said that it doesn't really matter when you're 5 feet away from somebody earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, Peter Dragonforge has a sentinel attack. If anybody within 5 feet of Peter Dragonforge doesn't attack him, Peter Dragonforge attacks him while he's attacking Akrit. 28 to hit.
Woo!
And that's 10 damage.
That's awesome.
Nice.
See, I don't like it when you do damage to my guys.
Peter Dragonforge is a defender. He's a defender.
That's great.
Nice.
Well, I didn't know that, and now I do. Alestrin!
Yes. I wanted to put you in the mind of the Hobgoblin because he didn't know it either.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
No.
He was as shocked as you are.
All right, well, I looked over my spell slots and realized I have a bunch of them, and I don't really have anything better to use them for than making a guy my quarry, so I'm going to go ahead and cast Hunter's Quarry, and now the Hobgoblin Warlord is my quarry. I know everyone's excited, so I'm going to take 2 shots at him.
This is a weird way to announce a hunt, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm hunting Hobgoblins.
God, my rolls are freaking awful. A 13 is going to miss. Here comes another shot.
Dashes it aside with his shield.
And that one's a 12.
That does not even get to his shield.
We won't be using that die anymore.
That die's gone. All right. Step on it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like right in the cat box with that die.
That's it for me. What a turn for Alestrin, huh? Pretty great.
Yep.
Pretty great.
5th edition Rangers. You love it. Hey, there's no character class that can, you know, overcome bad dice rolls. Peter Dragonforge.
All right, I'm just attacking this guy again.
That's how
18
we do it.
To hit?
18 won't hit.
And 19 to hit.
19 will not hit. I think you may be figuring out close to what is its armor class.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yikes.
This guy's tough. All done?
I am all done.
Melek, can you save these people from themselves?
I mean, I guess.
Again.
Let's see. I don't really need to move, so I will... Well, there's a statue in the way. I'll wander back north, and then I will cast Scorching Ray.
Oh, no.
It's a shame about Ray.
This is a slightly more precision attack than Fireball.
Yes, I'm going to be creating 3 rays of fire and hurling them at targets within range. All of them are this dude. So let's see. My first attack of the character. I have a 23, a 20, and a 28, which is a natural 20.
Wow, all 3 hit. Remember that when you roll a natural 20, you get to roll a double damage.
Double damage?
Double damage.
Well, that will bring the total, since it is 2d6 per ray, up to another 8d6.
That's a lot 86. Of d6. And of course, Monty is the kind of player that has 8d6 on hand. I do not have 8d6.
You need it for double Yahtzee.
So the deadliest Yahtzee.
24 points of damage, please.
Wow.
Oh,
fire.
You incinerate yet another person. before I thought Rizwin was going to have to save all of you after Peter can't hit anything. So the hobgoblin is, there's just a scorch mark, a kind of hobgoblin shadow on the wall, and a burnt pair of hobgoblin boots that already didn't smell great, but smells worse somehow, as they lie there on the ground.
I pick them up and put them by the thing that says smelly.
Okay. Amazingly, you have completed your first encounter here in 5th edition, here in your return trip to Undermountain. I thought a bear was going to eat one of you. It did not happen that way. What other horrors await you here in the southern passage of this dungeon? Will this be the path that leads to one Rutherford Urmbrusk? Will Melek burn more things? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time on Total Party Kill.